Now, where does Colonel Philip Corso fall into all this?
Well, that's an interesting question. And again, I get a hard time from people who tell me.
History Channel just had a special on that tonight on the Fast Blast. I was just notified of that. So.
Yeah, I've heard that there was a show on, and I might have been in it.
I don't know. You were in it. Yes, you were.
One of those shows. And I've met Colonel Corso and met his son, Lieutenant Colonel Corso, really, while he was in the service. And I think the book was, how shall I put this? It was a Taking Advantage of the Opportunity book, exploitation book. Came out, you know, the 50th anniversary of Roswell.
Right.
Several of us were supposed to get advance copies. We didn't. You notice that the book had no references. There was no substantiation of the many claims. And I also discovered that Lieutenant Colonel Corso, I mean, let's face it, he was an old man at this time. And I'm getting old myself, and I know about something about memory loss. And, you know, the short span memory, I'll tell you in 2 minutes from now what the answer to that question is, you know. But anyway, it turns out that he made claims that simply weren't true. One of them, for example, and I have a copy around here somewhere, he claimed that he was in a sworn statement for an attorney, Peter Kirsten, who led the battle on that early suit against the CIA and then the NSA. This goes back a long time. So he's fought the government under freedom of information. Anyway, he claimed he had been a member of the president's of the National Security Council. Well, he was not a member, never was a member, never attended a meeting. So there was a certain amount of enlargement of his role in a number of things. And matter of fact, there was just a Nobel Prize winner in physics, Kilby, Texas Instruments, who won his Nobel Prize for work done in 58, and that it had to do with, you know, the Intel kind of all the transistors on a chip kind of thing, which was an extraordinarily important development. And Corso was taking credit for having inculcated that from the information that was obtained from the Roswell wreckage into industry, except he wasn't in that role at General Trudeau's Foreign Technology Group at the Pentagon, which there were only two people.
But it has been confirmed that he was within security clearance to have access to the types of information.
Well, I'd rephrase that. He certainly had a security clearance. He was involved with intelligence work. He did liaison work with the National Security Council. He was not a member, and there were only two people in that group, and it was 1960, and here we have a Nobel Prize given for work done in 1958 that he was taking credit for having introduced into industry. So let's put it this way. I am very skeptical about his claims, and the absence of evidence for them, go back to what I said myself, you know, is part of the problem. But he certainly didn't provide any evidence. And remember, the good colonel was not an engineer. He was not a scientist. And the Air Force Foreign Technology Group, and I've seen people get these two groups confused, which was at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. And I had dealings with them. I was project engineer and a contract out of them back in 1960, 61, actually. That was a large group. I made many visits back there. They had dozens of people connected with that group, lots of technical people. They'd had records since 1947. You're going to tell me they did nothing with it? I don't believe that for a moment. So the colonel was a nice guy. When I talked to his son, there was a public meeting in Florida. He was saying there was a foot of material that was going to be distributed. Remember, on the Internet, he had a deal worked out. You pay so much a month, and you get access. And I asked him publicly, was there any classified material in that pile? The answer was no. He also pointed out that his father didn't think these things were from a long ways away because, after all, there were no sleeping, cooking, living facilities on board the saucers. And I did point out that we have these wonderful reports of huge motherships. By huge, I think of one up in the Yukon, we're talking 6/10 to 1 mile, 1.2
That's
miles
huge.
Long. That's big to me. I don't know about you, but you see that thing flying around in the sky. And that was based on triangulation from like more than 30 witnesses.
Right.
But when you got something that big, that's your aircraft carrier where you sleep and watch movies and eat and do all the other things. And then you have your little Earth excursion modules where you don't need to do any of those things. And there was a long silence and no discussion thereafter.